the place. I walk to the meadow and stare at the flowers that are just than any girl on her wedding day. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Your love is strong. Your love is strong. Heavens is now advancing. Invade my heart, invade this broken town. The kingdom of the heavens is buried treasure. Would you sell yourself to buy? Things you told me that you are strong and you love me. Yes, you love me. Shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest and feel to creams with quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear. Shepherd's staff comforts me. You are my feast in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me. Follow me in the house of God.
You give life.
You give life.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everybody. Thanks for joining us today at Trinity. This is a place where you can be yourself and feel safe to meet with the Lord and meet with other people that are also here on their journey with Jesus and seeking to grow closer to Him and to worship Him. And so this morning, we're going to have a wonderful time of worship in many different ways. Remember, worship is much more than just music, but music is one of the ways that we love to worship God together. So we'll do that in just a moment. But as we open God's Word, we worship Him, and as we pray and as we fellowship, we're bringing God worship. And so that is what we are called to do as His people. And there's three words that we see are really important to us here at Trinity, because these are our core values, and that is learn, grow, and serve, because that's how we pursue being disciples, followers of Jesus, by learning the truth and growing in faith and then serving. And serving starts with the people around you. It starts here at Trinity, and we serve each other, and we want to bless and encourage and challenge each other, and then we take that heart of servanthood and we take it outside of these four walls. And so we'll do all three of those things together this morning. So again, thank you for joining us, and we say a special welcome to those that have joined us online. Remember, that's a great tool that we have, that if you're going to miss a Sunday, if you're on vacation, or if you're not feeling well, of course, that's time of year we're in, right? And then everything's spreading around. And so I've been hearing a lot of people just fighting different colds and everything. And so a good opportunity to join us online. Just go to trinityallenwood.com, and right on the homepage there, you can just click watch live. And if you miss it for that Sunday morning, then you can always go back and watch it, because they're all stored there on the website. So it's a great tool to have, but we're so glad that you are here with us in person. I'd like to read from one of the Psalms this morning, a portion of the Psalm 92, as our call to worship. So as I read, perhaps you would pray and just pray that you would be able to receive from the Lord what He has for you, but also let these words be a reminder that we come not simply to receive, but to give, because that truly is what we do when we worship. We come to give, to surrender ourselves to Him. So let these words from God's Word be our call into worship this morning. And then we'll pray and stand and sing songs of praise to Him together. So from Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. To the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord, and your thoughts are very deep. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Would you stand with me, please? And let's pray into worship. Father, we thank you for bringing us here together this morning. Father God, it is our desire that you would be blessed. But Father God, even in our time of offering praises to you, we know because you are so good and gracious that you will be blessing us. So we say thank you for that. Thank you for your word this morning that reminds us of your unfailing righteousness that you are upright and strong. And God, it is your desire to bring yourself glory. So, Father, we offer ourselves up to you now in worship. May you be blessed by the songs that we sing. And, Father, may the sounds of the music stir our spirit and our soul. And may the words that we sing remind us of how good you are. And remind us of who you are and who we are in your sight. So we say thank you. And this time it's for you. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's praise the Lord together this morning.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us, behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst, behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, pay with blood to settle our debt.
God Almighty.
behold him. Savior say, and thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. As Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
dead Jesus. Yeah.
Yes. He is good, right? And worthy to be praised. Amen. Why don't you take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you? We can find our way back to our seats. Or if you want to take somebody else's seat, that's fine too. We got plenty. Yeah. Just pick one of the blue seats and you'll be fine. That's all good. But again, thank you so much for joining us. I trust that you've been blessed already to be able to give the Lord good praise that he is certainly worthy of. And it's just a great reminder to sing about the importance of his death, his sacrifice, but of course his resurrection. And so we will end our service today with our communion service. We'll take the Lord's Supper together in remembrance of that. But of course, as his body, as his church, we also then have that great ability to know that there is hope on this side of heaven and of course in all eternity. And so therefore we can celebrate, right, the fact that there is life in him because he is risen. We have also risen and look forward to those new bodies. Amen. Love that. That should be like something we do every Sunday. You're looking forward to your new body. Amen. Yes. Praise God for that. Come, Lord Jesus, right? How the scripture ends. So praise the Lord. But until then, we have work to do and we're on mission. As I said earlier, we learn, we grow, and we serve together. And he's called us simply to be disciples who are making disciples. And so we have our discipleship pathway that we're working on, and the next phase will be coming out in the next week or two, and we'll be focusing on the new resources as we look at that next part or one of the other points in the pathway of being a disciple, and that is to learn how to tell your story, to share your faith, and tell the story and share the gospel. So you'll hear more about that next week. But just have a few things of what we call church life, some announcements just to get caught up. It's very good to be back, and so if you know, most of you know that Claudia and I were away on a missions trip to Maui, and we will to share all about that next week. So make sure you come back, bring some friends and family, because Claudia and I, during the message time, are going to share about our experience the last 2 weeks helping victims of the wildfires there in Maui. And so please make sure you're here for that. And it's something we're looking forward to. People have been asking us. We so appreciate the prayers. But it was hard and difficult, and so many difficult stories to hear, but it was a blessing as well. So we'll share all about that. This coming Saturday, we have our men's breakfast coming up. We haven't done one of those in a long time. And so, men, that is 8:30 this coming Saturday right here at Trinity. And so you don't have to go online and sign up for that, but the information there is online, so you can keep track of what we're doing. But that is this Saturday, so make sure that, men, you put that on your calendar and come out for about an hour and a half, 2 hours on Saturday morning. Some great fellowship and food. And another important thing, too, is as we launch our ministry to men here at Trinity, the great opportunity to just hear a little bit from the leadership team of that ministry about their heart and their vision for what that looks like to have a ministry to men here at Trinity, how that came about and what to expect. So come out for some great food and fellowship, and also to hear a little bit more about the retreat that's coming up and a little bit more about this new ministry that we have, all right? And so we want to make sure that you do that. And so if we can go to the next slide, please, that'd be great. We have our outreach in Newark, and that is coming up on the 30th. And so we did this last year or 2 years ago, and so we go right outside of Penn Station, my Ferry Street there. If you've ever been there, there's this sort of large square area right outside the Penn Station. There's a lot of people that hang out, and there's a large homeless community right there in the center of Newark. And so we go to bring blessing bags and to pray with people and just check on people and hand them the blessing bags, see if we can pray for them. And of course, pray for opportunities to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And so so all the information is on our website, so go and check it out if you're interested. You don't have to sign up for it, but make sure you get all the details there as well about what time to meet. We take the train in together as a team, and we come back. The church covers the cost of the train tickets, but we meet up in Long Branch. We take the train in and come back, and so it's a good part of the day, but it's an amazing opportunity to go and do that. And we couldn't believe how many people we got to talk to the last time we did that, so that was really something. So put that on your calendar as well. That is Saturday the 30th. Another note, we've been announcing that our Wednesday evening service, where we record our podcast, many of you have come to check that out. That is actually starting up again on the 27th. We were going to start it next Wednesday, the 20th, but we put it off one more week so we can finalize our preparations. So on Wednesday, September 27th, we will resume our Wednesday evening service. And again, for those of you that aren't aware, that's a combined service with three local churches. It's Trinity, the Allenwood Church right down the road, and Shiloh Baptist, which is in Manasquan. And the three pastors, myself and the other two pastors, we record a podcast at the beginning of that service. And then we have a great time of interaction and Q&A about the material and the challenge that we come up with to live out God's word. And then there's a wonderful time of prayer afterwards. And I can't tell you what a blessing it's been to see just people that fellowship at three different churches get together and to learn, but also to grow in their faith and to pray together. And that's so awesome as we pray for our churches and our community. And so make a point of that. Come out on the 27th. And like I say, even if it's, you say, well, Wednesday nights, I got something going on, I can't normally make it, just come out and just come out once and check it out. And I trust you'll be blessed. So that's Wednesday the 27th. We start that up again. It's at 6:30 that we start that. So that means that for one more week, our prayer gathering we'll be here. So this coming Wednesday, our prayer gathering is here at 7:00. And then after that, our prayer gathering happens after that service, right? We end our Wednesday night services with our prayer gathering. But this coming Wednesday, it will be here at 7:00. Our men's and women's Bible studies are underway. They started a couple weeks ago. And so we are doing the books of Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Daniel. We'll be doing that through the spring of next year. A great opportunity to get involved and to dig deeper into God's word. We want to do that. We have our men's, our women's retreat. This is a women's retreat, right? We don't want any men at the women's retreat. Yeah, that's important. Yeah. That's all right. Keep them separate, right? So first coming up on the 7th and 8th, that's a Saturday and Sunday, is the Women's Retreat. Becoming by Beholding is the theme. And the registration is open for that, ladies. And so go to the website and check it out. You'll be able to register for that. There are some questions there that we want to know of the women that are coming. And so please make sure if you're going to go that you go to our website, trinityallenwood.com, and sign up for that. That's important. Same thing for the men's retreat the following weekend at Harvey Cedars. Guys, a bunch of guys have been signing up already, but please make sure you go to the website and register for that. You can put your deposit down. That guarantees your space and your room and all that. So, and all the details and information there. There's a bio about our speaker and the ministry that he's involved with to men. And so this will be a great event for our ministry to men. So check that out, guys. Make sure you sign up for that. We had some awesome opportunities of fellowship with our young adults group, and we're doing this in combination with the Allenwood Church. And so we had four amazing evenings of just food and fellowship and getting to know each other and get into some really good conversations about what it looks like to be a Christian, a growing Christian in our world today, especially as young adults. And so we have Tuesday nights will be the young adults nights, and we'll be starting those up next month. So we'll be announcing the start date for that soon, but just keep that in your prayers and in your thoughts. And then next week, we have baptisms. And so we have three so far. Can I hear four? Anybody else want to sign up for that? That we got plenty of water. It'll last all day, and so we're good. But praise God for that, right? Because if you remember, like we, you know, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of our personal sin, and we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he said he was going to do, and that he did it for us, we become believers. And at that moment, Scripture says that we are saved. And then Jesus says, okay, do you want to be a follower of mine? Do you want to follow me? He says, that's the hard work. And he says that we are to take up our cross, right, and deny ourselves and to follow him. So what does that look like to do that? And one of the things that we do as believers that Jesus called us to do is baptism. He gave two ordinances to the church, baptism and communion. And so next week we'll have baptisms. Today we're having communion, all in obedience to the Lord. So if you've been on the fence, you've been hearing me announce it for a while now. If it's something that you haven't done yet as a believer and been baptized, please come and see me after service or shoot me a text. Call me this week. There's still plenty of time to do that, okay? So that's important, and we want to be able to do that as well. So make sure you're here next Sunday. We have a lot going on, and like I said, Claudia and I will share about Hawaii, but we also have some baptisms to start our service, all right? And yeah, one other announcement, and then I want to invite some special guests up for this morning. But we have our Dig Deeper Sunday morning Sunday school that will begin, I believe, next Sunday. And we'll send out an email about that, confirming that with all the information. But we'll be going through the book of Daniel and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians as our Dig Deeper series. And that's something we took a break for, you know, for the summer. But our Dig Deeper is what we call that's our Sunday school. And so that's our opportunities on Sunday mornings to gather for about an hour from 9:30, I think 9:15 to 9:30. And dig deeper into the scriptures. And so we want to start that next week. And so you don't have to do any prep for that for the first week, but just keep that in mind, and we'll send out an email and text reminder this week to do that. But that's always an important thing, opportunity for us to as we talk about learn, grow, and serve, we want to learn from God's word, right? And so that's what we call it, our Dig Deeper series. So that begins again next week for our fall session. So please make a note of that as well. Just want to say thank you to everybody that donated. Remember, it was a month or so ago, we took donations for the Open Door Pregnancy Center. We had those baby bottles, remember? And you're supposed to fill them with all kinds of $100 bills and all that. Remember that? And so, praise God, we raised over $1,600 here alone. Amen. And that's for you guys. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I praise God all the time that we are a very generous church, not only with our finances, but all of you with your time and your giftings and all that. So we just wanted to say thank you, especially the leadership and our missions team and Angela, who headed that up. I think she's going to be down with the kids today, but we're so grateful that she did that for us. And we were able to raise that money for that important ministry. So just wanted to acknowledge that and just say thank you. We have some very special guests with us this morning. Pastor Jim Miller and his wife Betty are with us, and he'll be bringing the word to us in just a few minutes. He is a longtime pastor at First Baptist Church Metuchen, which is where I was able to serve with him before we came to Trinity about 8 years ago. And he's just a longtime mentor and friend. It was a privilege to be able to serve alongside of him. And so he'll be coming up shortly to share the word today. So make sure after service you take an opportunity to greet him and to thank him. But we also are blessed to have Tim and Marcia Monahan with us. Also, longtime friends and missionary partners with Trinity. And I was learning a little bit more about them and their connection with Pastor Miller. They've known each other a long time and gotten into some trouble in seminary together. And that was great to hear. And so we praise God for those stories. But as all of you know, as we announced recently, they are recently retired, but still, of course, very busy. And so they're joining us this morning in just a minute to share some updates. But first, I wanted to ask Andrew and Elizabeth, who head up our mission team, if you guys would come up and share for a moment, and then they will invite Tim and Marcia Monahan up as well.
Good morning, Trinity. How you guys doing? Oh, you shouldn't have. I just want to say God is good all the time, and we just keep following him. Like Pastor Keith was saying, prayer is key. It's amazing we have former missionaries right here sitting in our front row, and they've been serving over 40 years in the ministry in World Venture. And what I did some research about World Venture. About 75 Christian leaders met in Chicago, Illinois. They probably was like getting together. How can we start this ministry? How can we do this? And what they did was pray. I think that's the key word, prayer. I think prayer releases power for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're not praying, you're not in communication with him. And that's very key when we go out into these through these missions and these outreach. We want the Holy Spirit to be moving on our behalf, because we don't know what's in front of us. We don't know what's in back of us, but the Jesus Christ knows. And the last time they was here, they shared with us when they was in the subways, sharing the gospel, the true message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they was down there in the subways underneath the ground. That's like in the pits. When they first told me that, I was like, wow, in the subways in New York City? You know, normally you go to New York City to get a sub or something like that, you know? And he was down there sharing the gospel. And what has stuck with me and my wife, he said, disciples making disciples. And that's, I was like, wow, that's just amazing. And that's the key. And I talked to Tim earlier in the week, and it's amazing just have them, you know, in our presence, because the good Lord is so good to us. He has protected them all these years of their life to share the ministry. You know how many people they touch, how many seeds they planted, how much treasure they have in heaven. That's a formal nation. That's how we want to be out there making disciples, you know, and it's a blessing. You know, they say on June 30th, 2023, 40 years after appointed to Italy, Marcia and I were changed ministry. We were retiring from World Venture. As you know, I can retire from the ministry. A couple churches have asked me to be their interim pastor. Marcia and I accepted a call to Jackson Baptist in New Jersey. And that's amazing. Long as you breathe in here on this earth, you're going to be doing some kind of work. The Lord said, I'm not finished with you. It's a season. I'm going to change your life. You're going to go to this place over here that needs you. And I think that's where Mr. Tim got saved at. Am I right, Mr. Tim? And that, I mean, it's just awesome how the Lord put this together, that we must be out there telling these people about Jesus Christ, because he loves us. You know, he loves us. He's going to be there with us. You know, he said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, you're going to find it. So that is the key to be out there sharing this magnificent gospel about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and telling these people that just burning up out here. They just burning up walking around. They don't even know it. Your neighbors, you know, at work. I mean, sometimes it can be tough. If they're not trying to hear you, they're rejecting the Lord, not you. You know, we just vessels of him, ambassadors of Christ, you know. That's what we try to do at Trinity, learn, grow, and serve. We got these different ministries, the men starting up. I mean, which is amazing, men should step out. You know, we need more men to step up in their faith in Trinity and to go out there and spread this gospel to these people that are lost. They could be where we're working at, I mean, in our backyard. But I ain't going to take most of the time up. You know, you want to say something? Marsha, Tim, come up. We got a gift for you guys. Yeah, for them from 40 years of ministry. We got this a gift on behalf of Trinity, our Trinity family, to both of you guys.
Thank you for loving God so much and doing his work and building disciples. And we learned a lot from you when you said that time last time, disciples making disciples. And that's what we want to do, and that's what we're here for. I want to present to you these flowers on behalf of Trinity Bible Church. Good morning. 40 years is a long time. And Trinity has been a part of our lives in ministry almost the entire time. I can't remember exactly the date, but you've been a part of it. And you've had so many wonderful special events and ways to show your love and support. One time I remember Maria and Enzo were here. We had a special Italian dinner. I don't know how many, that was a long time ago. And another event that really stands out in my mind, the hardest part, one of the hardest times in Italy is when our kids came back to go to college. And it really makes you wonder, am I making a difference? Is it worth it for me to be here and for them to be across the ocean? So far away. And Trinity had a special event one night, and you had Erin here, our youngest. And you had her share. She was able to open up with you and share her struggles and her difficulties, and you just shared so much love and support for her that she still remembers it to this day. We're talking quite a while ago. So I just thank you for your love and your support and your just being behind us for so many years. But thank you. And thank you for the flowers.
Ni hama. No, wait a minute. That's Chinese. I went to Taiwan in a short-term trip, and I wanted to go back to Taiwan. I thought God was calling me to Taiwan. So... Ohio Ichiban. No, wait a minute. It's Japanese. We were actually appointed to go to Japan 40 years ago. And the board, after 3 days, said, well, maybe we have the right couple, but the wrong place. So, buongiorno, come state? We ended up in Italy for 31 years. And if you read the prayer letters that... I'd sent out every month for the last, I don't know how many years. You'll find that we ask for prayer for Naples, New York, and the nation. Naples was a tough environment. Have you ever woken up and asked your wife, Marcia, where did you leave the car last night? Not the car keys, but the car. Where did you leave? That happened 3 times to us in Naples. So it was a tough environment. Have you ever come home and had a gun in your back as you got out of your car? No, that happened in Naples. How many times has your house been cleaned out, not by the maid, but by the people coming in overnight? It was a tough environment to live in and raise our kids in, but it was a tough environment for church planting and training leaders. Roughly 40 couples went to work in Italy. How many of you think planted a church out of 40 couples? Take a guess. 2 is a low number, 40? No, 4. 4 people. How many turned their church over to Italian leadership? one. I don't want to brag, but I'm saying your investment, I think, was a pretty good investment in us. That's all I'm saying. It was a tough place to plant churches. After planting a church, we turned it over to Luigi. I don't know if Luigi came here, but we made a visit to Jackson and had different places. He became the first pastor that a missionary had turned the church over while he was there. But we didn't have resources. I'm amazed in America how many resources you have for training people, leaders, seminaries. We don't have that, so we trained our own. And as I look back on our 40 years there, I can think of, I made a very short list this morning. I said we have Patrizio, Sergio, Luigi, Danilo, Salvatore, Angelo, and others that are pastoring churches through the leadership development programs we had. So we, not just we, had a good investment, because without you, we couldn't have been in Naples. In 2016, we were called back to New York, and they were looking for mentors who had success in the field and longevity. I think 31 years in a mission field is not too bad. Missionaries sent out today last about 60 to 80% of them last not even 3 years. So 31 is a pretty good time. So they had us go to New York, and we mentored and trained over 100 people in the past few years of how to transition to a field, to a new field. It's like moving from Naples, Italy to Manchester, New Jersey. You're thinking, mamma mia, come posso fare quello? How am I going to live in Manchester, New Jersey? The culture is so different. The food is so different, and there's no Italian food anywhere in this state. So transitioning, we went from Naples to New York. Thank you for praying for us. We still mentor people around the world, from Malaysia to Manila to Milano to Mexico, worldwide. So we're not giving up ministry. We're going to be in ministry, I think, for a long time. And then we're praying for the nations. We've sent people out to all countries of the world. I mean, not all countries, but most of the countries. Most of the countries our missionaries go to, from New York, go into places where that are predominantly Muslim, and we can't even tell you where they are sometimes, just for their safety. So thank you for the impact we had together. Without you, did I say this before, we could not have done it for 40 years. Now, God has called me. I don't know if he's called me to New Jersey, or he stuck me back in New Jersey. In the church I came to the Lord in, the church was in difficulty. It probably was going to go under. The situation was so bad, but with God's direction, the Holy Spirit, and working together, the church pulled together. We didn't lose one family through, I mean, a heavy, heavy problem. And we went from an attendance of probably 70 to 100 on a Sunday to about 180 in the last couple of weeks over the summer. So God was working. I'm now training the new pastor in homiletics and hermeneutics, and he asked me to stay on, which is very rare. So he's a very humble, truthful, I mean, such a godly guy that God is going to bless Jackson Baptist. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for Naples and New York and the nations and New Jersey. And my goal is still, we're training, I'm training seven guys on every Friday to go out and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that's been our goal. Thank you for all you've done for us. You got me?
Not much. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Of course. Well, I hope not only that you've been encouraged by that, but hopefully, prayerfully, also challenged. You never know what God is going to do, right? Perhaps you hear stories like that, and you're challenged to grow as a disciple who will make disciples, and perhaps it'll be on a mission field somewhere, And you never know what God's going to do. And I love sharing, hearing you share about how at first it seemed like you were going one place and then another, and then finally wound up in Italy. So pray about that. And remember, even as Andrew said, God is never going to be done using us. I'm always reminded that Moses was called to his mission when he was 80 years old. So, right? So as long as you're here, God has something for you. So consider that and pray about that. Before I invite Pastor Miller to come and bring the word this morning, I would like to read our scripture passage for him this morning, and that is found in John. And so you can turn in your Bibles if you'd like, or if you'd like to just listen. This is from the Gospel of John in chapter 14, verses 1 through 21, our reading for the message this morning. John 14, 1 through 21. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Pastor Jim Miller, would you please come and share the word for us this morning?
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. I have a particular connection I feel with this church for a couple of reasons. Back in the mid-1970s, the group which First Baptist Metuchen belongs to is now called Venture Church Network. They began to do some church planting, or I should say continue church planting. And so they had identified an area that they wanted to plant a church in, somewhere near Brielle. And they appointed a church planter. He was a young man from First Baptist Church in Metuchen. His name was Peter Michaels. And he came to Brielle and started a church plant in the fire hall here. And eventually that church plant moved over here to Allenwood, and it became Trinity Bible Church. So I feel a strong connection to you. before you even existed as a church. We prayed for you, and we gave money to the church planting fund. And so I sense that connection with you. And then, of course, through the years, we, as you stood with the Monahans, so did we. Our church did the same thing that you did. We partnered with them to send them out into Italy. And then we had a young man on our staff, and his name is Keith Whittell. Yes, young. I said had. Not that you're a has-been, but what does that make me? At any rate, we were so pleased when he accepted the call to your church here. So I do sense a connection with you, and I appreciate the fellowship that we have together as churches. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of reading your word together and thinking about it. Thank you for the blessing of serving together. And we pray, Lord, as we do so, that we would be careful to pay attention to your word, that we might live effective lives the way you've designed them to be. So bless our time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For many years, it's been my privilege to be involved in a Bible camp ministry, teaching kids, sharing the gospel with them. And, of course, the camp is not local. It's in Nova Scotia. And, again, we supported a missionary that went there to serve with the camp, and somewhere along the line was invited to come be the camp speaker. And about 40 years ago, I went with a team of men, and they needed a chapel built. And so we built the chapel there. Didn't finish the whole thing, but did a significant amount of work on it. They had hired a contractor who dug the footings and poured the foundation and did all that. And then we came and built the wooden structure that it sat on. Unfortunately, they had to tear it down this year. After 40 years, they had noticed that there was a lot of cracks in the foundation wall, and the whole building was starting to sag. It became a hazard, and so they had to demolish it. And as they demolished it, they discovered something. The foundation had no metal rebar in it. The contractor that they got to do the work, he kind of chintzed on it, and no rebar in it. And so all the hard work of the wooden structure couldn't stand any longer. That was a heartache to everybody, particularly the people up there, because it meant a lot to a lot of people in that area. A lot of kids got saved at that chapel. And they even had weddings in the chapel. People, the place meant so much to them, they wanted to have their wedding in that building. And all because the foundation was incomplete. We need to build on a complete foundation. And I like to talk about one particular doctrine of the faith that is foundational to us this morning. When I was in seminary, I was taking a preaching Christian doctrine course, and the professor, Dr. Lewis, that'll probably ring a bell with you, Dr. Lewis bemoaned the fact that he never heard any sermons on the Trinity. So I kind of took that as a challenge, got a lot of extra points with Dr. Lewis, and prepared a sermon on the Trinity. And this isn't that sermon, but it's some thoughts about how foundational the doctrine of the Trinity is to us. After all, you guys chose that to be part of your name, Trinity Bible Church. It's very significant. It must have been for that to be chosen as part of your name. I mean, we sing the doxology together, don't we? Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why is this such a foundational doctrine of the faith? Then I pondered what passage to preach from. Now, we could go to the Great Commission, right? Jesus said, go and make disciples and baptize them, what? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That would be a good passage for us. Or we could go to the baptism of Jesus, where we see the fact that Jesus entered the water and The voice from heaven was heard. This is my son. The Father was speaking. Jesus was in the water. And the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Very significant passage of Scripture. But for today, I'd like to focus on the passage that was just read for us. For this passage in John 14, I think we often think of it in terms of heaven, don't we? It's often a passage that we read at a funeral service when our loved one has gone to be with the Lord, and we think of the fact that Jesus has prepared a place. My grandmother lived almost, she was 3 months shy of 100. And at her service, my cousin John, who was also a preacher, he said, you know, as far as any of us grandchildren can remember, Grandma lived in a borrowed house and a borrowed bed, but today she has a mansion of her own. And so we usually think in terms of that concept when we think of John 14, but it's really a very Trinitarian passage of Scripture. And I'd like us to think about three implications of the Trinity for our lives today. First implication of the Trinity is that it deals with redemption. And you see that particularly in the first seven verses. Non-Christians, they misunderstand the Trinity. They think we worship three gods. The Lord's Bible, Scripture, is very clear that God is one. Very direct and pointed that God's one. And yet, through Scripture, we see these three distinct persons mentioned. And they share the divine character. And yet, they are very precisely designated as Father, Son, and Spirit. And sometimes that's a little hard to get our arms wrapped around, and yet that's the conclusion that the church has drawn up years ago, that God is three in one, that we see these three persons, distinct persons, but all being God and yet making one. That's sometimes hard to comprehend, but that's the conclusion that we draw from Scripture. We see that without trying to divide God unnecessarily, we do see, though, some distinct purposes of the three persons. That God the Father purposes. He is the one, the author of His will for us and His plan for our world. And we see the Son secures that. We're talking about redemption. God purposed it, and Jesus secured it, and the Holy Spirit applied it. And we have that wonderful verse in verse 6, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the gospel, that we can only come to God through the person of Jesus, that He alone is our redemption, that He alone is the sacrifice to pay for our sins. It's kind of interesting, the denial of the Trinity, especially the idea that Jesus is eternal God. When that is rejected, that invariably leads and has led over history to cults that invariably adopt works salvation. And the reason for that is that when you deny Jesus as being eternal God, you don't have an adequate sacrifice for our sins. How could anything short of the eternal God possibly pay for and atone for our sins? It can't be done. And so the groups that over time have rejected Jesus as eternal God, and we could give you the list of all the different groups and what they teach, and it all winds up to be a system of works. Our redemption is the implication of God being three in one, a Trinity. And so we need to understand that and accept that we don't have a good foundation for our redemption if we don't ground it in the Trinity, that Jesus has died for us, that He paid the price, that God saw to it that we would have a way of eternal life. And that's our message. The message that is preached from this pulpit, the message that's preached from the pulpit where I come from, the message that's been preached from the pulpit in Italy, and it is the message that Jesus is our redemption, and He is our redemption because He is the eternal God come in the flesh. You can share in that redemption. If you don't trust in your works, if you trust in Jesus dying for your sins, and you repent of those sins, and you believe that Jesus is that God who came to earth for us, then you can be saved. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so the first implication of the Trinity is redemption. We go on to the second implication, particularly focusing on verses 8 through 14. And here we see the implication of the Trinity deals with revelation. Jesus was here to reveal some things. He was here to teach his disciples about God, the truth about God. Now, in our world, truth has fallen on hard times, hasn't it? Today, people have their own individual truth, right? People will sometimes say, well, something or other is true for me. It may not be true for you, but it's true for me. Like saying 1 and 1 equals 3. Interesting, the Trinity, 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. For all of you math wizards out there. But we see that truth has fallen on hard times. Today, not just today, for a long time, people have tried to tell us the truth is relative. It kind of changes, and there's exceptions to it. Not according to John chapter 14, verses 8 through 14, no. No, here we see a revelation of God through the person of Jesus Christ. That if you want to understand who God is, if you want to understand the eternal God who is spirit, he gave us the ability to see that through a human being who walked the earth. So Jesus had that human nature. He also had the full nature of God. And that's how he revealed himself, the Father revealed himself to us. Look at what it says in verse 8, particularly in 8 through 10. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And he goes on, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What he was claiming was that he possessed all of the nature and quality and attributes of God the Father. And that by looking at him, we could see God. Now, there's different ways that we can see God, right? I mean, look at our world. Oh, I love the way the world is made. The intricacies, oh, we could go on and on and on of the intricate way that God has made our world. So many things we could point to in our world. Just where our earth is placed in relationship to the sun. If we were any closer to the sun, what would happen? Poof, we'd burn up. If we were any farther away from the sun, guess what? We'd all freeze to death, wouldn't we? That just one truth that is beyond understanding how that perfect distance could be maintained. And we could go on and on with all sorts of other things. The way the moon circles around the earth and it affects the tide. God made it so that twice a day, all of the oceans of the world cleanse the beaches by the moving of the tides. When you add it all together, it's a wonderful thing to look at our world and see God. But we don't learn enough about God. We know that he's there, or we should. We don't learn the way of salvation, though, just by looking at the creation. Well, we could even look at the law of God. The law of God reveals God to us. It's not just a bunch of rules, right? When God says, don't lie, would God command us anything that is contrary to his nature? He wouldn't. Those commandments come out of the very nature of God. And so when he says, don't lie, it's because why? He is the truth. We just read that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the fact that God is truth is reflected in the commandments that he gave us. When God tells us, do not commit adultery, why is that? Because the nature of God is that he is faithful. And that command is not just arbitrary. It's a command that comes out of the very nature and attributes of God. And we could look at all of the commandments in that life and say, well, what about coveting? Well, when you covet, what you're saying is God isn't really good enough to take care of my needs, and I have to covet the needs of other people. We really deny the very nature of God, who is a good God and who's promised to meet our needs. And so we could look to the law of God for a revelation of the Father, couldn't we? But instead, Jesus said, no, if you really want to see God, the Father, you look at me. And that's the implication of the Trinity. We look at Jesus, and we see this complete disclosure of God. It goes even a little further to look at Jesus, and you can see a disclosure, a revelation of God's will. People pray about God's will in many ways. God, I pray that you give me this, or I pray that you give me that. What's this verse here say in 13 and 14? He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. People like that verse, don't they? Do whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. You know, you want all sorts, you want to, what do people want? Materialistic things, right? But you got to read the whole thing, right? Whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, the next time you bring that request to God, and you're asking for some very expensive luxury vehicle, you have to ask a question. Am I asking in the name of Jesus, and will this glorify God? Will it glorify God to make you this rich person? See, most of the time, those prayer requests are designed for pleasures for ourselves. And for you receiving all sorts of pleasures for yourself, can you really honestly say that glorifies God? And most of the time, no. And so the Trinity is about the revelation about God and even his will. Because Jesus came to show us the will of God. He came to show us the nature of God. He came to show us the purpose that God has for us. Well, then the last verse is 15 to 21, the third implication. That deals with relation. Well, if truth has fallen on hard times, how about relationships? They've been a problem right from the start. Ever since Adam said to the Lord, yeah, that woman you gave me, you know. That's kind of where relationships started to break down, don't you think? And relationships have been a problem ever since. But the Trinity shows to us how we should be in relationship. And that the Trinity is a relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What the world needs is love. Yeah, that's true. But sin is what messes love up. And so instead, we need to look for a better model of how to have relationships with people that isn't so messed up by sin. And guess what? We have that in the Holy Trinity of God, don't we? Now think of this. A lot of the theologians have concluded that the attribute of love is the dominant attribute of who God is. Well, that begs a question. How can God be the eternal God of love if he exists as just one person? You can't really show love unless you have an object of love. Now, you follow me? Are you tracking with me on this? No. I can always count on my wife to give me an honest answer. How do you show love? You have to have somebody else to express the love to. If God was just God the Father, there was no Jesus, there was no Holy Spirit, you'd have no relationship there, would you? It's like saying, I'm a patient person, and you live in this little bubble, and you never have any trials. You don't know if you're patient or not. You bring on a problem, you bring on a trouble. Oh, all of a sudden you realize you're not a patient person. You say, oh, I'm a loving person, but you don't have a... You live like a hermit and you never rub shoulders with anybody. How can you think that you're a person who shows love if you don't have the opportunity to be sacrificial with that other person? But the Godhead certainly does. That Father, Son, and Spirit exist together. And that's why we can say he's the God of love, because he is in relationship within the very Trinity of God. And that's how we learn to live in relationship with other people, by seeing and knowing this God that we serve. And so the doctrine of the Trinity teaches us the implication of relationship. It's kind of interesting because as the passage goes on, remember how we saw earlier in the passage, it says, show us the Father. And so Jesus says, no, you look at me. If you want to see the Father, you look at me. Establishing that oneness between the Father and Son. He takes it the next step, and he talks about the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? And in this next step, he says that he is going to send another counselor, the one who is there to another comforter or counselor. And it's kind of interesting where he says this, I will send another counselor. There's two words in Greek for another. The one word is hetero. It means another. Like we have people, and you have genders, male and female. And if you're male, here's another person. But it's another, but it's different. And vice versa. No, the word that's here, used here, is the word allos. And it means another of the exact same kind. Maybe a practical illustration will help. You take your kids for ice cream one day. You go in the ice cream store and your child walks out and they've got their ice cream cone in their hand. And they drop it on the ground. And so what's any good parent say? I'll get you another, right? That's tough when you're cheap like me. But anyway, so you go back in the ice cream store and you say, I'd like a cone, death by chocolate. They say, I'm sorry, you got the last of that. Oh, bummer. Now what do we do? Well, all right, just I'll give them something else. We want a waffle cone. You got the last one of them too. So you come out of the ice cream store. And you've got one of those cake cones, you know, the ones with a little flat bottom. It's just because kids can set them down. You've got a cake cone with mint chocolate chip. And I said, and you said, here's another cone. And what's the kid say? That's not another. That's different. No, it's an ice cream cone. You dropped your ice cream cone. I gave you another ice cream cone. No, it's not. Because it's not a waffle cone with death by chocolate. You didn't give me another cone. You gave me something else. But it's an ice cream cone. You get the picture? That when Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter or a counselor, that word is too much for one English word to comprehend all of it. What he said is, I'm going to send you somebody to be in with you that is another just like me. He was describing what? The Holy Spirit, to have all of the attributes and qualities that he had. And he said, if you see me, you see the Father. And so the attributes of God are seen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this passage. He sends to us another comforter to be with us. It's kind of interesting because he goes on, we didn't read further on the rest of the chapter, but in verse 23, he says, Jesus replies, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So you see, obedience is the way that we connect with that. And our obedience shows our relationship to God, doesn't it? For when we obey God, he comes to us. And the passage then finishes out in verse 26. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's a great promise. That this teacher, this counselor, who is just like Jesus, will again teach us everything about the revelation of who God is and about relationship with one another. And then what's that next verse? The result of that is that he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." He ends with that wonderful promise that is born out of what? Knowing the God who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can apply this by the idea that we need the foundation of the Trinity to help us understand redemption. Redemption is by grace. It's not by works. Redemption is by God sending his Son, Jesus, to atone for our sins. And I hope you've made that choice and that decision to believe in him, to believe that he died for you, and that in believing, not in doing good works, but in believing in him, that you will have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We'd all be glad to share with anybody who needs to have the assurance that you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior. So the Trinity helps us understand redemption. We need the foundation of the Trinity to reveal truth. Truth as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. You need to see him. Our record of him is here in the Word of God. You see him in the Word of God, you will have truth revealed to you. You will understand your world and your life so much better when you know him. And then third, we need the foundation of the Trinity to understand God's perfect love for us. And understand that love is sacrificial. How was love sacrificial to God? He sent his Son to die for us. And that if we are to be like him, we must follow him in being sacrificial in the way that we live, in the way that we give of ourselves to others. And so love that God shows us can be nothing less than the love that he gave to us in the person of Jesus. So that's my prayer for you, that you will know that you are on a firm foundation. You know, the cults love nominal Christians who don't have the foundation. They love to get in people's heads and find people who haven't really established themselves on the foundation of who Jesus is. I pray that you do, that you have a good foundation, that you got rebar in your foundation, so that your lives don't crumble. Amen. Let's sing. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Praise God. You may be seated. How many of you are going to leave here and go get a waffle cone with Death by Chocolate ice cream? That was a very sad story. It got worse and worse, didn't it? Thank you so much, Pastor Jim, for that great reminder. Something that he said stuck with me, that Trinity is about relationship and our God is about relationship. We call this, what we're going to do now to conclude our time together, we call it communion. or the Lord's table, because he draws us into communion with him. God sent his son to tabernacle with us, to live among us, to commune with us. So this is our opportunity to be obedient to the Lord. Because Jesus Christ told us, as he told his disciples on that night before he was betrayed, that we are to do these things in remembrance of him. That's what this time is for. This is often called a family affair, and that this is for the body of Christ, for believers. Feel free to let the cup and the bread pass you by. If you need to get right with the Lord as a believer, if you are still seeking after him, it is okay, but this is something that Christ called his church to do together. For he said that we are to do it in a proper way. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That we are to do this after a time of reflection. And so we're going to do that now. As you hear the music play, take an opportunity for a minute or two to spend time with your God, to reflect on not only what he has done for you in his death, the sacrificial death. We heard about sacrificial love. But what is the nature of your current relationship with him? What does that look like for you this morning? So take that opportunity as you hear the music and spend time with him. And then I would ask that whenever you are ready, and there's no rush for that, you can get up from your seat and either come up to the front or to the back on the side there and take a piece of the bread and a cup and return to your seat if you are able. If not, someone will gladly do that for you. And once everybody is returned, I will take us together. I will take us together in eating of the bread and the cup, as Jesus said to do that in remembrance of him. So let's take a moment now to reflect on what the Lord has done for us. And when you're ready, get up and take the elements and return to your seat. Thank you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said these words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together remembrance of Jesus. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying these words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink in remembrance of him. Let's stand together and close out our service time together by singing one last song about how great our God is. Let's praise him.
the Lord.
Amen. Well, Lord bless you and keep you this week, and I just encourage you to go and keep singing. Let your soul keep singing of his greatness. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning. Lord bless you. Amen.
He's our rescuer.